Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are continuing in the third parak of Maseches Bikurim. Today we're going to be finishing off the third parak with parak Gimel Mishnah Yud Aleph and parak Gimel Mishnah Yud Beis. We learned in the previous Mishnah that when it comes to Tosefes Bikurim, the additional Bikurim that you add into the basket, as well as the Itur Bikurim, the decorative Bikurim that you use to decorate the baskets, they're both the same too as regular Bikurim, in that they may be eaten only in a state of Tahara, by a Tohor, by a pure Kohen in Yerushalayim. The Mishnah here is going to give us an exception to this halacha. Says the Mishnah, Emasai Amru Tosefes HaBikurim, Kibikurim. When did the Chachamim say that the additional Bikurim and the decorative Bikurim are like actual Bikurim, and that they can only be eaten by a Kohen that is Tahor in the Yerushalayim? Says the Mishnah, Bizman Shehiba'a Min Haaretz. That's true only when the fruit came from the main part of Eretz Yisroel, the part that is the western side of the Yarden, the Jordan River, where that's the mainland of Eretz Yisroel, and that's where the obligation of Bikurim exists on a Midaraisa level. So when the fruit comes from the regular part of Eretz Yisroel, then certainly that is true that they have to be eaten only by a Kohen in a state of Tahara, in a state of purity. However, says the Mishnah, V'im eina ba'am in ha'aretz, but if they do not come from the real part of Eretz Yisrael, but rather they come part of Eretz Yisrael, that is the eastern side of the Yarden, where the obligation of Bikurim is only on a Midrabanan level, is only a rabbinic level, because at the end of the day, that area is not considered to be the Eretz Zavas Chalavu Dvash, the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Eina ki Bikurim, they are not like actual Bikurim, meaning to say, if produce that grew east of the Yarden of the Jordan River is designated as either additional Bikurim or decorative Bikurim, then they are not restricted to this halacha. They may be eaten by anyone and anywhere, not only by a Kohen who's Tahor in Yerushalayim, but they could be really eaten by anyone, even outside of Yerushalayim. Continuing now with the final Mishnah of the Perek, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Beis. Now we learned previously in Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, that when Bikurim are given to a Kohen, they become his personal property. So we're going to learn a little bit of a three-way machlokas in our Mishnah. What exactly does that mean, that Bikurim become the personal property of the Kohen? Says the Mishnah, Lama Amru HaBikurim Kenichse Kohen. In what area, in what respect did the Chachamim say that Bikurim become the property of the Kohen who receives them? Says the Mishnah, Shehu Kona Mehem Avadim Vikarkaus Ubehema Temeah. They are his, says this first opinion. They are his in that he may use them even to buy slaves or to buy land or to buy non-kosher animals that are going to work for him. Despite the fact that Bikurim are meant to be eaten by the Kohen, at the end of the day, these are non-food items that he's allowed to use them for because they belong to him. They are his property. Ubal Chov Notlan Bechovo. And the creditor may take Bikurim from a Kohen as a payment for his debt. If a Kohen owes you money, and he can give you, a creditor can take the fruits from him as a way of saying, you have to give me the money that you owe me, or I'm going to keep them. The Isha Biksubasa, and a woman may take Bikurim from a Kohen as payment for her ksuba, for the things that her husband owes her. Kisefer Torah, says the Mishnah, the same is true of a Torah scroll, of a Sefer Torah, meaning to say a Torah may also be taken by a creditor collecting his debt and by a woman collecting her ksuba. But certainly, and generally speaking, as the Yerushalmi points out, a Sefer Torah may not be sold other than for a pressing need, such as for someone who's getting married or someone who's learning Torah. But generally speaking, you would be allowed in such a pressing situation to buy a Sefer Torah and use it for that purpose. But that is the first opinion of our Mishnah, the first Tanna, again, who says that when it comes to Bikurim, you can really use it for anything that you want, for any monetary purpose that he desires. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein no sin o sam elu lechaver tova, that Kohen may not give his Bikurim to anyone except for another Kohen who is a Chaver, meaning to say he has to be someone who is so careful with the halachos of Tumah and Tara, of purity and impurity, that he eats even in his ordinary regular food only when him and the food are Tohor. He has to be very, very careful that he's that when it comes to eating food in a state of purity, And, says Rabbi Yehuda, he may only give it to them as a favor, meaning to say, he can't receive anything in exchange for the Bikurim. So number one, says Rabbi Yehuda, he can only give it to another Kohen who's extra careful about the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. And number two, it can't be for a dead, it can't be for a ksuba, it can't be for anything, for avadim or land. It has to only be for a favor. He says, okay, I want to give you a present so he can give it to such a Kohen in that situation. However, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda's first point, meaning to say that Bikurim may be given only to a Kohen who is a Chaver, not to other Kohanim. The Chachamim say no. The Chachamim Omrin, the Chachamim say, no snin osam la'anshe mishmar. The owner of the Bikurim, meaning the Kohen who received the Bikurim, can give them to any members of the Mishmar of Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash that week, as we learned previously. The Kohanim are divided into 24 Mishmaros, 24 groups of people that are divided into 24 weeks. And if the Kohen was in the Beis HaMikdash and received the Bikurim, so he can give the Bikurim that he received to any Kohen, even if they're not a Chaver, even if they're not so extra careful when it comes to the halachos of Tumah V'Tahara. Certainly he can give them to any Kohen at the end of the day. The assumption is that even though Bikurim aren't actually used as karbanos, they resemble karbanos in that they are brought into the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, as the Bar Tzinura points out, giving them to ordinary, regular Kohanim is permitted because we assume that they can be trusted to treat them with the proper respect and kavod that they deserve and avoid eating them in a state of tumah. But you don't have to be extra careful, say the Chachamim, to only give them to a chaver, to someone who's extra careful. And as the Bar Tzinura points out, we paskin like the Chachamim, finishing off the Mishnah, Fahim Mechalkin Beinehem, and they can divide the Bikurim amongst themselves, meaning even those who are not necessarily Chaverim, Kikodshe HaMikdash, just like the Karbonos of the Beis HaMikdash were divided amongst all the Kohanim of that week's Mishmar, whether or not they were Chaverim, so too the same is true when it comes to Bikurim. They would all the Kohanim of that Mishmar would divide up the Bikurim with one another. And again, we paskin like that. Quick review, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Aleph, discuss the question of when exactly Tosefes Bikurim and the decorative Bikurim are considered to be like regular Bikurim, and that they cannot be eaten by a Kohen who's not Tohor, and they can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. So we said it's only when they come from the mainland area of Eretz Yisrael, the west side of the Jordan River. But any Bikurim that's rabbinically required from the west side, from the east side rather, of the Jordan River, it's only a requirement on a rabbinic level, and therefore they can be eaten by anyone, and they don't have to be eaten in Eretz Yisrael. They'd be different than regular Bikurim in that respect. And then Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Beis, cited a three-way machlokas regarding why and how and exactly what it means that when the Mishnah taught us in the Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph that the Bikurim are considered to be the Nichsei Kohen, they're the possessions of the Kohen. What exactly does that mean? So according to the first Tana, the Tanakhama of our mission, that means that they can be used to acquire slaves or lands or non-kosher animals to do work for you. You can be used them to pay a debt. You can use them to, a woman could use them for her ksuba, and so on and so forth. That was the first opinion. We don't paskin like that. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, and he was even the most extreme position. He said, no, number one, you can only give them to a chaver, to a Kohen who's extra, extra careful to not eat anything ever, even non holy foods. Never, ever, ever eats anything when he's not in a state of tahara, when he's not in a state of purity. Number one, they have to be a chaver. You can only give it to a certain type of kohanim. And number two, says Rabbi Yehuda, you can only give it to him as a favor. You can't even give it to him for any other reason, for any other purpose, with any other intention in mind. But then the chachamim, who we do paskin like, says no. That number one, you can give it to any kohen, really. That's really the main point of disagreement, that you don't only have to give it to a chaver, but really you can give it to any kohanim. And again, you shouldn't be using it as a debt or anything like that. So they both disagree with the first Tana in that respect, but the disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is regarding whether or not you only have to give it to a chaver. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, or with the Chachamim, who he paskin like, you can give it to any kohanim, part of that mishmo for that week. They would, generally speaking, divide up the Bikurim. Have a great day.